You're listening to Playing the Numbers Podcast, bringing you baseball numbers you don't know but need to know, and deep dives on teams and players around the league. Now, presenting your co-hosts, Avery Redd and Shane Mohan.
All right, Dodgers fans kicking this shit out of Astros fans. Got some bad blood there. Bash Brothers and Cincy are continuing to rake, and the Mets are looking like they still got it with this AAA lineup. I'm Shane Mohan, joined with my co-host, Avery Redd. Let's get into the numbers.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode, Playing the Numbers Podcast. Going to be going over the usual today, the series recaps, pitching performance of the week, all that good stuff. We'll get into that. How's everybody doing? Friday morning after a nice half week, whatever you want to call it, of baseball. Had some good series. Nats kind of choked. Phil did all right for me and Shane.
Got the split. We'll take it. I mean, it's obviously not the end goal, but we have trouble. We have trouble with the Miami Marlins, so it's good to see that we're hanging with them.
Yeah, been a good week. Put Shane's ass on AHS for any American Horror Story fans out there.
Very great show. Already finished. Well, we started a little out of order. Started of season two, Asylum. Finished that in 3 days. Now we're back to season one of Murder House.
Yep,
he's about to the show.
He's about to become a junkie. And for anybody listening that is in our MLB The Show Custom League, we're just starting that up. Probably going to be doing more of those in the future, so let us know if you guys want to be a part of one. But enough about all that. Let's get into the series recap. Shane, start us off with the National League today.
All right, we're going to start this off with the Cubs playing over in Pittsburgh. Cubs got the sweep, 3-0. Game one, Arrieta, 6 2/3 at a nice outing, only gave up 7 hits with 1 run. Chicago went on to win that game 12-3.
He's been pitching good this year.
Yeah. Arrieta. It sucks, though. His one, he was a dick over in Philly. Old clubhouse wanted to kick his ass. Loved to blame everybody but himself. And I guess when it's all said and done, he feels most comfortable in Wrigley. So
must, because he's not back to like his Cy Young days or anything, but he definitely looks like a different pitcher from when he was with Philly.
Yeah, that's for sure. Anyways, hopping over to game two. As we know, Chicago took the W 4-1 in that game. Williams got the W 6 innings, 3 hits, and 7 Ks. So not a bad outing from him. Game three, Chicago ended up winning 5-3. Kyle Hendricks went deep into the game at 5 Ks through 7, only giving up 3. And Chicago went on to get the sweep. KB, 6-15 with a dinger. Looks like a potential MVP candidate.
Yes, he is.
Jock Peterson knocked a couple out of the park, 3-11 in the series. And Brian Reynolds was the lone warrior for the Pirates, only went 2-10, did have a dinger there. But, I mean, Pirates are a lost cause for some time now, and they are what they are. Cubs have now tied with the Cardinals for first place. Bullpen hasn't allowed a run in 33 2/3 innings. So they got everything they need right now. They just need to keep the momentum going. Cubs, watch out for them.
Let me interrupt real quick. I just got a notey on my phone about the jersey. You know, like all the Connect Unis the teams are doing? Yeah, the White Sox, they just dropped theirs. It's literally peep this. I'm about to send it to you. This is really cool. They're wearing them this weekend. These are nice. By far my favorites.
They better be better than the Marlins. What was
Dude, they're nice.
Oh.
Yeah, those are tough.
Yeah. It's kind of weird though with the white pinstripes on black. You only see that in the show.
I kind of fuck with it though.
I definitely like it.
South side.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, Oh, yeah, and I wanted to say real quick before you continue on with any more series, like today, for example, yesterday, there's a few new series that started, but we're just going to go over the series that ended yesterday, and at the end, we'll talk about a few of the games that happened yesterday for the series, and we'll say so-and-so's up 1-0 or whatever, tell you that, but we're just going to go over the series that ended yesterday. So continue whenever you want.
All righty. Let's continue back into this. We have my Phils playing down in Miami and the Dome. Got the series split 2-2. Starting off with game one, Miami did take the win 9-6. Had a late comeback there. Actually, the Phils almost had a late comeback. It wasn't close for most of the game. Ninth inning had a little bit of life, but it wasn't enough. Trevor Rogers ended up going 5 and 3 hits, giving up 1 run and 5 Ks. Eflin, not his best outing. I think they left him in a little too long, gave up 3 through 6, had 6 Ks to his name. Not a good game for the Phils. Game two, Phillies did get the shutout. Vinny Velo, 6 innings of 3 hits, 5 strikeouts. Really liked what I saw from him. Probably his best outing of the year for sure. Alcantara, though, did go 8 innings. They kept him in for a while. I remember they let him hit with the bases loaded when I was very surprised to see that. Went eight innings, 2 earned runs, 4 Ks. He's been looking good this year. Game three, Miami did get the win 4-2. Nolan went 6 innings, giving up 1 with 6 Ks. You know, he's our ace. He's supposed to be our ace, but he's not looking like an ace. I really, really think that they, if we do in the perfect world, make it to the wild card or postseason berth, I think you give Wheeler game one.
Even if you do think Wheeler's your number one, no matter what, Girardi and the Phillies probably aren't thinking that, and they're going to start Nolan no matter what.
Dude, I would not be surprised. I think Girardi's the kind of guy that's going to give it to who earned it. And the goal at the end of the day is to win, and Wheeler gives us the best chance of winning. So that's my take on it. Anyways, we'll finish up the series real quick. Game three, I just went over that. Nola did go 6, giving up only 1 with 6 Ks. So ended up not working out. Neidert went 4, only gave up 4 and 1 with 3 Ks. So that was enough to get the W. Hopping over to game four, Phils did keep the series as a split with a 3-2 win. Not a very eventful game. Pablo Lopez went seven innings, giving up 2 with 5 Ks, only 1 walk. Spencer Howard got yanked a little early, I thought. I thought he could have went a little deeper in the game. Some serious standouts. Rhys Hoskins. Really starting to heat up lately. 5 for 13 in the series with 2 homers. And the second homer was like, I think it was his 8-pitch at bat. So he was fighting to a full count and poked that ball out. Real nice to see. Ronald Torres, real nice off the bench when he gets his few starts. I think he's been delivering quite well. Was 2 for 8, 2 ribbies. And Jesus Aguilar continuing to hit. RBI leader in the National League, 4 for 12 on the series of 4 ribbies and a walk. And Garrett Cooper is continuing to rake. He was 4 for 6 with a double. So at Marlins lineup, I think they are probably the most slept on team in the league. And yeah, you were saying this the other day that they are the most consistent team in the NL East.
Right now. I mean, and you can't argue their pitching. I mean, they got Pablo Lopez, Sandy Alcantara, Trevor Rogers. Sixto is probably going to be back soon. So they're going to be a force in a few years. And they're already looking not a force right now, but, I mean, they're showing what they can do.
Yeah, no, they're hanging with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. 2-2 split for the Phils Marlins, hopping over to Padres playing in Milwaukee. They got the split as well in a 4-game series there. Milwaukee did get game one in a 5-3 W. Blake Snell ended up getting the loss with a Woodruff. Nice performance on the mound. 7 innings of no-run baseball with 8 Ks. So he got the W there. Game two, Padres did end up winning 7-1. Musgrove only went 4 2/3, but it was enough to get him the win. Had 6 Ks to his name. Corbin Burns actually went pretty deep into the game, but he got touched up a little bit, giving up 4 runs early on, and had 7 Ks as well. Now, in game 3, we did see a little bit of extra innings baseball. Padres did end up taking it 2-1 in the 10th. Chris Paddock, 6 innings of one hit or 1 run baseball with 2 hits. And that was enough to get him the win. Kind of uneventful there, but that extra innings, everybody loves to see that. So, game 4, another extra innings game. Milwaukee taking it 6-5. And Hauser did end up getting the W. No runs through 5 with 4 Ks. So, there you have it. Milwaukee gets the split with the Padres 2-2. Some series standouts. Tommy Pham had a homer, 5-for-17 with 3 ribbies. Eric Hosmer did poke one out, 4-for-17. A guy who we had earlier in the season as – I think it was me. I actually had him as the most overpaid player in baseball. So it's good to see that he's at least earning a fraction of it.
Yeah, he's been a little better this year. He was better in the 60-game season last year, so maybe he's flipping the switch a little back to his KC days.
Yeah, right. Willie Adames starting off hot for the Brewers, 5-for-14 with a homer. What are we thinking of him?
Well, he's 4-for-5 in game 4, I believe, with a homer and 4 ribbies. So maybe he's just the guy that needed a change of scenery. He's sick of Tampa Bay.
Could be true. And Adolis Garcia had a homer going 3-for-12.
That's Abisail Garcia.
Oh, yeah, right. Abisail.
Thinking of the Texas guy.
Yeah. Abisail Garcia. My mistake. Some notes on the game. 2 great pitching matchups. That is true. Blake Snell and Woodruff and Musgrove Burns. Real nice matchups there. Gausman threw another scoreless outing. So, oh, shit. I'm in the next series. My bad.
All good. No, yeah, that's for the Giants, D-backs, Padres, yeah. Though. Still atop of the NL West time. Kind of surprised. Not surprised, but I did not expect them to be atop of it. And approaching June 1st, I thought the Dodgers would have a decent lead, but this is going to prove to be a great freaking run, and even the Giants are getting in on it now. So exciting stuff happening in the West.
Yeah, you knew the Padres and Dodgers were going to be fighting for that number one spot, but now that you got the slept-on Giants, those underdogs, looking real nice as we're going to get into them with the 2-0 sweep on the D-backs in Arizona. So game 1, we had a San Fran sweep, 8-0. Now Gausman, who I was just talking about by mistake, ended up having 9 Ks through 5 with no runs. So
he's been lights out.
He's been lights out, to say the least. And that's another scoreless outing for him. So he's definitely feeling his pitches and delivering. So in game 2, San Fran did get the edgy 5-4 win there. Cueto went 5 innings, giving up 4 with 8 hits. So he got roughed up a little. But again, enough to get the W, which is all that matters. Longoria, 4-for-8 on the series with a double and a homer. Austin Slater, only 1-for-1. Didn't see much playing time in the series, but he did have a homer.
Yeah, he had a game-tying homer in game 2, so I had to put him on the series standouts.
No doubt. And the Giants come back from a 4-0 deficit in game 2, which was really nice to see that they have some resilience in them. And, again, Gausman throwing another scoreless outing. So he could – I mean, are we seeing potential Cy Young from him? I don't know if it's a little early on to say.
I mean, I don't see why not if he keeps this up. It seems like every time I look when he pitches, he doesn't give up a run.
There is some potential there. Anyways, hopping over to Rockies playing up in the Metro against the Mets. Game 1, Rockies win 3-2. David Peterson goes six, giving up three through five hits, and wasn't enough as Gomber was the winner of that game, throwing eight innings of two-run baseball with eight Ks. I'm going over to game two. Mets get the win 3-1. DeGrom, again, I think he's given up five runs all year.
Yeah, well, this is his first start back, so they had him on a short leash, only letting him go five. But, yeah, I mean, he still lights out. It doesn't matter.
I think that's accurate, though, right? Five runs all year and is, what, six, seven starts?
That sounds about right. He's got, like, a 0.80 ERA or something.
The guy is incredible. I mean, if he stays healthy, no doubt he goes on to get yet another Cy Young. I think he's definitely at the top of the list right now for sure. Yep. So, good to see him still reeling and dealing. Not good for the NL East, but anyways, game three, Mets win 1-0. They did have the doubleheader. So, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of the seven-inning games. One, because it screwed Bum out of a no-hitter. And two, you know, you want to see nine innings. No one wants to see seven innings. So, Stroman ended up getting the win in game three. Six innings of no-run baseball. Real nice performance from him. Always thought he was underrated. I think the size has always been against him, but he plays like one of the biggest guys on the field. Game four was the second of the doubleheaders. Mets go on to win that one 4-2. Lacasse went 3 2/3, giving up one run. Was good enough to get W. Series standouts, Jonathan VR, 5-for-12 with three walks. Jose Peraza did knock one out of the park. That was the lone run for the Mets in game three, right? And Ryan McMahon, breakout player, 4-for-14 with two homers. He still got it. And Elias Diaz was 1-for-5, knocking one out of the park. Kyle Freeland did make his first start of 2021. And we just found out that Syndergaard is going to be out for another 6 weeks. Tough for Mets fans. Sorry to hear that. Sorry to tell you that. Only 16 runs total in the four-game set, so not a lot of offensive action from either sides. But nonetheless, Mets take the series 3-1. Now we hop over to Cincinnati playing against your Washington Nationals.
Fuck off. Fuck off. Hey,
that's a tough game. That's a tough team.
Yeah, we should have swept it. But, I mean, it was a tough one.
It's good to have high hopes, but in all reality, I knew you guys weren't getting the series win there. Sorry to tell you that. I'm not going to fuck off. I'm going to fuck right back on and tell you that that lineup is much better than
their lineup wasn't even the problem. They only scored fucking eight runs in the whole series. It was our lineup sucks.
So that was their pitching them.
No, our lineup sucks.
Well, actually, yeah, you're right, because I'm looking at these stats. I'll break into them right now. Game one, Cincinnati did get the slight win 2-1. Mally came back off of a awful start against the Giants last week, threw 5 1/3 and didn't give up any runs, had two Ks. Not bad. Max Scherzer did have a nice outing. Gave a couple through seven. Nine Ks to his name. Not too bad. Game two did get a washout. We're sitting around waiting for them to come back on, and they just called it off around, I think it was 11, right? 11 at night. Anyways, Joe Ross, four innings of three hits, no earned runs. When they picked that up the next day, that was the remainder of that. I think they ended in the third inning, so they picked it up there next day. And game three was forced to be seven innings due to that rain out. So Sonny Gray ended up going six innings of no-run baseball. Real nice performance from him. And Stras got touched up a little bit, giving up three through five with five Ks. Jesse Winker continues to rake, man. They don't just call him one of the Bash Brothers for a reason. Jesse Winker was 5 for 12. Eugenio Suarez, 2 homers, 4 for 12 in the series. Josh Bell did have a homer himself, going 4 for 11. And Juan Soto continues to get walked because half the league, if not the whole league, is scared to throw to him. Nat's offense has been quiet, though. So hopefully you guys can turn that around.
Fuck shit. Sick of it.
Jeff Hoffman did end up getting injured in game two. And Josh Bell looking like he might be on a surge here, finding his swing back.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, he's hitting like 400 in his last 7 games. So,
all right. And that will do it for the National League. Take it away for the AL.
Moving on to the American League with your star, Space Ace. In the American League, we have, leading it off, the Indians at Detroit in Comerica Park. Cleveland takes this 4-game set 3-1. And they're moving up. They're gaining on the Sox. They're only a game and a half behind. Spencer Turnbull, after the no-no, comes back in game 1. Throws a decent start, but wasn't quite enough. Cleveland takes the 6-5 win. Game 2, somebody I heavily considered for my pitcher of the week, Aaron Civale. He went 8 innings, 6 hits, 1 run. 1 walk, 6 Ks. Cleveland wins again, 4-1. Game 3 was a nail biter. 1-0. Detroit grabs a win. Jose Urania was the starter for them. He went 5 2/3 scoreless with 3 hits. And game 4, Cleveland wrapped the series up. Took the dub. Shane Bieber, 7 innings, 1 hit, 1 run. 12 Ks facing off Matt Boyd, who gave up 4 runs in 5 innings. Series standouts, Eddie Rosario, he was great. 7 for 15, a homer and 5 ribbies, 2 walks. Jonathan Scope had a homer for Detroit. Willie Castro had a homer over in Detroit. Aaron Civale continues to impress. He's been great so far this year. And like I said earlier, Indians now only a game and a half behind the Shy Sox. They're gaining. For the second series, we got Baltimore at the Twins, 2 of the worst teams in baseball. Minnesota, maybe getting back on track here.
Yeah, I wouldn't put them in the category as worst team. I think they I'm just saying
to this point, they've been one of the worst teams in baseball, but I think they're going to climb out of the hole, and this is a good way to start it, sweeping Baltimore.
Their record is better than they – or they are better than what their record says, is right.
Yeah, and when they get Buxton back, and they're fine. They're fine. But, yeah, they win all 3 games, Minnesota. They take down John Means. He did have a great start, but the bullpen unraveled on him. 7 innings for him, 2 earned runs, 5 Ks. Matt Shoemaker was the starter for the Twinkies. He went 6 innings, 1 earned run. Twinkies win at 8-3. Game 2, they take it 7-4. Jose Berrios on the mound, 5 2/3, 1 earned run, 7 Ks. Nice start from him. And game 3, Minnesota's going to take that one as well, 3-2. Michael Pineda, 6 innings pitched, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 8 Ks. Some series standouts for you. Rob Refsnyder, guy you don't hear a lot, 5 for 11, home run, 2 RBIs. Good for him. Mitch Garver, 3 for 7, 3 doubles, 2 RBIs. DJ Stewart over in Baltimore, only 2 hits in the series, but they're both them ding-dongs, 2 homers, 3 RBIs, and a walk. Cedric Mullins continues to hit well, 4 for 11 with a double, 3 walks and 2 RBIs, well as a stolen base. Minnesota possibly getting back on track after that sweep. Moving on to another series.
Before you get into that, Mullins is a rookie, right?
Go. What was that?
Mullins is a rookie, right?
I don't think so. Let me check. If I had to put money on it, I'd say no.
It might be his second year.
It is his. Well, no, never mind. He had enough bats. It's his 4th year. But he only...
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that either. But he's only in his 1st year, he played 45 games, then 22 games, then 48 games. So it's not like he's been a God, it's been up a lot. But yeah, he had another good series, continuing a good year. Moving on. Rangers in Anaheim. LA, two-game set, takes both of them. 11-5 in the first one. Andrew Heaney throws a nice game. 5 2/3, 3 earned runs, 5 Ks. Game two, slugfest. Going back and forth, 9-8 is the final score. Angels win it. Griffin Cannon looked pretty good in 6 innings on three earned runs, I should say, on 6 innings. 7 strikeouts. Dane Dunning got rocked for 7 runs in 4 innings, my rookie of the year pick. He's doing pretty good this year, but tough start for him there. Ohtani was supposed to start, but his start gets pushed back because of a late bus traffic. I thought that was pretty funny.
That was very bizarre to see that.
No, I know.
Ohtani will end up pitching today, I believe.
Yeah, I think he pitches today now. But, yeah, great series for the Angels. I'm hoping to see them getting track. I like them. Taylor Ward, 6 RBIs, 4 for 8 with a homer and a double. Justin Upton had 2 dingies. Nate Lowe with a homer, two ribbies. A double, 2 walks, and Adolis Garcia, 2 home runs. I believe he has 16 on the year now. He is a beast. Shohei hit a homer, and the exit velo was 117 miles per hour.
Jeez.
Guy's a beast. Guy is a beast. Moving on. Royals out the trap. Tampa Bay wins it 2-1. KC takes 2-1, or takes game 1-2-1. Rich Hill, though, the story for Tampa Bay. 8 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 13 strikeouts for Rich Hill. Not really known as a strikeout guy, but he is that game. Brad Keller is opposition. 7 innings pitched, 4 hits, 1 run, 7 Ks. KC takes it. The rest of the series was all Tampa Bay, though. Tampa Bay wins game 2, 2-1. Tyler Glasnow, who you'll hear about later. 8 innings pitched, 3 hits, 11 strikeouts. Had control all game and never looked back. Game 3 was blowout. Tampa Bay 7-2. Shane McClanahan, 5 innings pitched, 3 runs, 0 earned runs, 6 strikeouts. Not much offense in the series. Austin Meadows, 2 for 10 with a triple and a home run, 4 RBIs. Outside of that, Kevin Kiermaier, 2 for 8. Ryan O'Hearn, 1 for 3 for KC with a homer and 2 ribbies. Rays on top of the AL East now, taking over on top of Boston. And is Tyler Glass now their new ace?
It's got to be. He's got to be.
And a stud. And this isn't his first year showing it. He's been a stud for sure. I like what I've seen.
Him being their new ace.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Tampa Bay is very much in it, as usual. Moving on. Seattle is in Oakland. Seattle actually takes it 2-1. They take both first games of the series. Seattle takes the first one 4-2. Second one 4-3. Kikuchi, 6 innings, scoreless baseball. And Frankie Montas, 7 innings of scoreless baseball. Logan Gilbert and Cole Irvin, 2 young guys battling out. None of them did specifically good. Irvin, 4 earned runs and 4 2/3. He has been doing pretty well so far, but Oakland takes game 3, salvages a series. James Caprillion, very well, 7 innings, 2 hits, 0 earned runs. He was solid. Mitch Haniger went 4 for 12 with 2 doubles and 2 RBIs. Crawford, J.P. Crawford, 4 for 11 with 2 doubles. Mark Canna, 2 for 9 with a homer. Not much to talk about in this series. Seattle takes it 2-1. And we go over to the Bronx. Blue Jays there for a 3-game set. They take it in the Bronx 2-1. Corey Kluber goes down with a brutal injury in game 1. He's going to be out for about 2 months. Big loss for the Yanks. That sucks. Game number 2, game 1 of the doubleheader yesterday. Alex Manoa, Jay's number 3 prospect. 6 shutout innings with 7 Ks in his major league debut. That's awesome.
Very incredible for a debut.
Oh, yeah.
Especially against that Yankees lineup.
Yep. You love to see guys do it. Herman Domingo Herman, 5 2/3, 2 runs, not bad. Game 3, Yankees take it, salvage the series. Jordan Montgomery, 4 2/3, 3 earned runs, not horrible. Bo Bichette hit 2 homers in the series. Marcus Semien, a guy I want to talk about later, had a nice series with a homer, double. Judge with a homer and 3 ribbies. Big series for the Jays, taking 2 out of 3, big time.
Liking the Jays this year.
Yeah, me too. A little sleep, getting slept on a bit. And then we got 3 interleague series. How do you want to do this?
Just flip back and forth. You want to start it off? Cardinals, White Sox. I'll do Braves, Red Sox, and you got Dodgers, Stros.
Sounds good. Cardinals at the Shy Sox. Tony La Russa on the Shy Sox returning. Well, not returning to St. Louis, but playing the Cardinals. And I believe with that win they got against the Cardinals, Tony La Russa now has a win against every major league team as a manager. That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
Even though he's an idiot, but still kind of cool. White Sox take game 1, 5-1. They take the series 2-1 as well, if I didn't mention that. They take game 1, 5-1, though. Lance Lynn, 7 innings, 1 run, 4 strikeouts. He was lights out.
Potential pitcher of the week performance. I was one of my top options.
Yeah, that's fair against a solid lineup. Very fair. Game 2. Cool storyline in this one. Jack Flaherty and Lucas Giolito. High school teammates going against each other. Giolito gets the best of them, though. 6 innings pitched. 2 runs, 5 Ks against Flaherty's 3 2/3. 7 runs. Rough one. Chicago takes it. 8-3. St. Louis wins the last game. 4-0. John Gant. 5 shutout innings. He's got a 1.81 ERA on the year. He's been really good this year. And I've always liked his stuff, and he has got a funky delivery. So look out for John Gant. And Carlos Rodon, another great start. 6 innings, 1 hit, 1 run, 10 Ks. Nicky Madrigal, 7 for 11. The dude can hit. He can hit. Double RBI. Jose Abreu, homer, 4 RBIs. Tommy Edman showing some pop. Hit 2 balls out in this series. Chicago takes it 2-1. And go ahead and take it with the 2-game set of the Braves and Sox.
All right. Atlanta's playing over in Boston. I should say up in Boston. Took the series 1-1 split there. Game 1, Atlanta did win 1-3. Charlie Morton went 7 innings of no-run baseball. My bad. The Braves did win 3-1. Like I said, that just worded it weird.
Yeah, I typed it in wrong, my bad.
Yeah, Morton, like I said, 7 innings of no-run baseball. Had 9 Ks to his name. Another potential pitcher of the week performance. Garrett Richards went 5 2/3. Not too good. Braves touched him up pretty bad. Hopping over to game 2. Boston got the win 9-5. Nick Pivetta, 6 innings of 4-run baseball with 7 hits. Doesn't look too good stat line wise, but he did have 9 Ks. And when it's all said and done, he got the win. And that is what matters. Some serious standouts for you guys. Ronald Acuna still, wouldn't say raking in the series, but he's getting his hits in. 3 for 9 with a double and a ribby. Wilson Contreras, 2 for 5 with a homer as well. Drew 2 walks. Devers was 2 for 7, and Renfro was 2 for 6, both hitting 1 homer each in the series. Braves and Red Sox split 1-1.
And for the last, but definitely not least, Dodgers and Astros in Houston matchup we've all been waiting for. Should be more interesting when it's in L.A. Excuse me. Split at 1-1. L.A. takes a big series opener game, 9-2. Kershaw is lights out, 7 2/3, 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts. Greinke gets touched up a bit, 6 innings, 4 runs, 5 Ks. LA takes it 9-2. Trevor Bauer in game 2 gets the leadoff home run hit off of him. Jose Altuve takes him deep to start the game off 1-0. It'll finish 5-2 in Houston's favor. Luis Garcia, another good start for Houston. 6 innings, no runs, 7 Ks. Not much offense, surprisingly, with a 9-2 win from LA, but it was kind of spread out. Justin Turner, 2-for-8 with a homer. Sheldon Noisy, 1-for-3 with a homer. Altuve had a homer. Correa had a homer. They split it. There's a fight in the stands we'll talk about in a little bit.
Pujols had a double, too. So.
Oh, and Pujols did have a double, yeah. I missed that. But, yeah, we'll talk about that fight in the stands after we go over power rankings and all that stuff. But a lot of fun series, like I said. They take it, or they split it 1-1, Dodgers-Astros. That'll conclude the series week recap for this episode. So, power rankings, you want to just bust into those? You got yours. Mine didn't really change that much from last week.
Yeah, mine looked pretty similar to yours, just a few things I switched up. Dodgers at 1, Padres, A's, Rays, Red Sox, Giants, Yankees, White Sox, Mets, Astros.
Pretty similar to mine. I see you finally gave the Rays some respect.
Yes. I was waiting for a consistent set of wins between losses, and they did that.
And, yep, Mets number 10. That's what I got for my power rankings. Pitching performance of the week, we both got the same guy, I believe.
No, we don't.
We don't. All right. Well, I'll go mine. I got Tyler Glasnow against the Royals. 8 innings, 3 hits. No runs, 2 walks, 11 Ks. He's lights out. He got lit up a little bit in his last start, and I'm glad to see him bounce back here, and I'm going to give him pitching performance of the week. And technically it's not of the week, but I don't know what else to call it, so we're just going to call it of the week.
All right. I actually had Shane Bieber. It was close for me. I did want to go with Glasnow, but I liked the 12 Ks that Bieber had to his name through 7, 1 hit, 1 earned run. Did have 4 walks, so did walk a little bit, but nonetheless, 12 Ks is 12 Ks, and he went pretty deep into the game, giving him pitcher performance of the week for me.
I like it. All right, well, I had a few topics I want to go over before we wrap things up. And first is this Dodgers-Astros fight. What do you think about it?
Well, I'll be honest with you. That Dodgers guy knows how to fucking box.
He doesn't know how to do shit. That guy looked like that. He was beaten up. Looked like he was like a little shrimp. And this guy's over here pounding his head into the seat for God knows what. I mean, I don't know what happened. And I don't know what.
Well, it was a 2-on-1.
That other guy wasn't doing anything. He was fucking standing there like a little tool.
Well, he started to fight the one guy, and then the other guy stepped in, and then he started kicking his ass. And I think it was the second guy that he really got like at least 6 or 7 blows on, tried to stand up, and then he just fell the fuck over. Like,
I think the whole thing's bullshit. You're beating on a fan because of something a team did. Again, I don't know what was said before the fight. Maybe the Astros fan called him a bitch or said something.
Well, how do you know it's about the cheating?
That's what I just said. I don't know. I have no idea. But from the video, I mean, it looks like he's beating his ass for no reason. I mean, obviously, I'm sure they try to make it like that.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think that's valid to say no reason cheating. Fuck the Dodgers, because for all we know, the fucking Astros fan was trying to fuck his wife and trying to hit on her.
That's what I just said. I said you don't. I have no idea, but I don't know. It's ridiculous for that shit to be happening at a baseball game.
It's happened forever.
You're there to have fun. Have fun. Now that guy's probably arrested, ruined his game, ruined his night. Shame.
Shame. Everybody likes a good fight, though.
That's true. But that was pretty brutal. I'm not going to lie. That guy was fucking him up.
Yeah.
Those were some clean shots, too.
Well, yeah, he backed up. He was like pointing at him once more.
No, I know. Fucker. Well, one guy I want to talk about is Marcus Semien. He is getting fucking slept on, and I'm sick of it. So I'm talking about him. through 220 plate appearances so far this year. He's hitting 288, 355 on base, 147 WRC plus, 13 bombs, 8 stolen bases, and a 2.4 war. I mean, he's getting slept on.
If we want to talk about guys getting slept on with a high war, Zach Wheeler.
Wheelie, Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels.
He is getting slept on.
High score in May.
He is getting slept on. Vlad Jr.'s got the only guy with a war over 3.
Wow.
He's just on another level right now.
The big thing about him, and I think I touched up on this in the last couple episodes, is he can hit to all parts of the field. He's not a Deadpool hitter, and he sprays the ball all over the place.
Yeah, he does. It's fun to see him finally breaking out. I've been waiting for it for a long-ass time. Oh, yeah, and another stat about Marcus Semien. He has the highest war for any position player in the month of May so far.
Wow.
Highest war. And I'm pretty sure he's right up there in WRC plus for people that qualify. Yep. Third in WRC plus behind Castellanos and Max Muncy in the month of May.
Damn.
And let's see where he ranks in homers. Third in homers behind Adolis Garcia and Vlad Jr. Holy shit, Adolis Garcia has 11 home runs this month. That is crazy. Well, oh yeah, and do you think the Cubs are a contender? I was just thinking about that last night, and I was like, wonder if the Cubs can actually make some noise here.
No. I do not think they're contenders.
Really? What makes you say that?
I think reality will soon kick in. I think once August rolls around, they'll probably be a third place 500 team.
Yeah, but I don't know. What if they're contending at the deadline? Just think of this scenario. Hear me. They got, if you think of it right now, they got Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Javi Baez, Wilson Contreras. I mean, they got hitters in there. They got Kyle Hendricks in the rotation. Jake Arrieta. Two guys that are like, if you would happen to make the playoffs, decent playoff horses. But say they're contending, they're in it, and they go out and pick up, I don't know what pitchers are going to be on the market this trade mark or this trade deadline. I don't even know. Say they pick up an ace, though, or a number one starter. You think they can do it?
Event that they do pick up a solid starter, then we're talking potential playoff berth. Yes,
but because they got
the team stands right now, no,
because they got Zach Davies, Kyle Hendricks. I like that Adbert Alzolay, Jake Arrieta. I mean, they got some guys, and they have a really good bullpen. I think we forgot to mention they extended their. Remember how their bullpen had like a scoreless streak going?
Yes.
Yeah. They extended it to 33 2/3 of an inning. They have not given up a run, their bullpen. 33 2/3.
Wow. I did not know. Now, how long do you think that stretches through? Probably like 2 weeks?
Yeah, probably. Maybe a little less than two, maybe like 9 or 10 games, 11 games.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that's incredible. I don't know if that's ever been done before. I mean, I'd imagine there are more people would probably be talking about it, but.
Right.
Yeah, well, I don't have much else to talk about. We got that.
To wrap that up, like you said, if they can pick up a nice starter piece at the deadline, then we're talking potential contention. But as the team stands right now, I'm going to say they just barely miss it, maybe even 500.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to play the show, honestly, for any show players. We got the roster update coming out later and a bunch of shit. What do we have? We got the roster update, the collection. Are they releasing the new collection or are they just announcing it?
What? Oh, the Flash Legend and Flashbacks?
Yeah.
No, that's dropping today.
Oh, I didn't know if they were just announcing it or releasing it.
No, they're releasing it. They got that, Team Affinity Stage 2, and the roster update. So a lot of content this afternoon.
Bet. Well, at least I don't have to go to work till 3:30 today, so I can check it out. But, yeah, I don't have much else to talk about. It's been a fun week. We got the short gap between episodes, so we'll see you back on Monday morning. Hopefully, we can get this up on Apple without any damn problem. Sorry about that last week, but we tried posting it, and it just, for some reason, wouldn't go on Apple. I mean, it was on Anchor, and then eventually just showed up. So, hopefully,
yeah, that was bullshit.
I know, it was so annoying. So, sorry about that. Hopefully, it won't happen again. There's really nothing we can do about it. I was trying to fix it all day, but I was at work, and it was kind of tough, but hopefully, we don't have any problems. We posted a test episode a few days ago, and that went up. So, if you hear this, it went well. I got nothing else to say, though. Great week. We'll see you back on Sunday. Shane, you can close it out, my friend.
Yeah. As always, let us know what kind of content you want to see. We're probably going to stick with this same regimen of series recaps, hot and cold players, power rankings, and pitchers of the week. Other than that, anyone that wants to be a late sign up for the custom league, DM us, MLB Strike Zone, PTN Podcast, or Shane O'Mac, _O'Mac. And until then, we will see you guys in the next one. Have a great weekend and enjoy some fucking baseball.
We love MLB The Show over here. If you're sick of grinding, all the missions, the player of the month, the top now, the moments, the conquest maps, the showdowns, go over to Instagram. DM MLBTheShow.info to grind on your account for a very cheap price. It grinds fast and it'll do it for cheap. I've used his service in the past. I can guarantee you it is 100% legit. He is for real. Don't forget to use our code NUMBERS when checking out with him in the DMs for 10% off your order of any price. That's MLBTheShow.info on Instagram. Link to his page will be in the description. Thanks, guys.
And before you click off, check out our sponsored segment, Anchor.
Yep, just check it out. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Anchor before you go and why it's the best way to make a podcast.
That will conclude this week's episode of Playing the Numbers Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Your feedback is very important to us, so leave a review and tell us your thoughts. Check back every Monday for a new weekly recap episode and hear what went on around the league.